Hello and thank you for downloading the podcast of the BBC World Service History Programme Witness History with me, Simon Watts. Today I'm bringing you the story of how a riot by the gay community in New York inspired the creation of the modern gay rights movement. I've been speaking to John O'Brien, who took part in the famous protest outside the Stonewall Inn. On the night of June the 28th, 1969, after years of mounting tension, the gay community in New York turn on the police.
People wanted to show their anger and resentment at the police for all their years of brutality and intolerance. Here was a chance for me to finally express my feelings about what had been done to me as a young gay kid growing up in an anti-gay society. And I wasn't alone.
The spark was a raid on the popular Stonewall Bar. Hundreds of gay men, drag queens and lesbians fought with the NYPD for several nights.
It empowered us. I think there was not anybody there who really cared about either being arrested or being hurt because we had had miserable lives and we were just tired of it.
John O'Brien grew up in Harlem in the 1950s and 60s. At the time, homosexual acts were illegal in New York and almost every state in America.
There's no positive role models anywhere existing in society then. You were a criminal. You were mentally sick. Better to be a murderer than to be a homosexual.
So how did you even go about meeting other gay people?
It was very difficult to meet people because gay men were in constant fear of being discovered. The police were my enemy. They liked to get their jollies by using their nightsticks on us and beating us as we were trying to escape from them, because they would find us in cruising areas. And their thing was that, you know, we only deserve to be beaten up.
I need your sweet inspiration.
So these two little blocks on Christopher Street, which was in Greenwich Village, was our one little refuge we found, which was at nighttime when nobody else cared and nobody wanted to care to be there. We found places that we could sit on stoops and in parks. We could talk. We can socialize. And it may not have been a great place, but it was our place.
Don't go my way.
There were several gay bars in the neighborhood, but the Stonewall stood out because of the noise and the music that came from it. Because most bars were quiet and dark, and people came from hundreds of miles away to go on the weekends to those bars because they were afraid to be seen in their local neighborhood.
In June 1969, the mayor of New York ordered a crackdown on the gay bars in Greenwich Village as part of his re-election campaign. The Stonewall was the third to be raided in quick succession, and the mood in the community was at boiling point. A young drag queen called Tony Ritter was there when the police stormed in, as he told the BBC in 2009.
They were telling us to shut up and get against the wall and were being escorted out. As we got out into the street, some people, especially people who were dressed in drag, were pushed over toward the paddy wagons.
The drag queens started scuffling with the police. One officer is said to have been kicked with a well-aimed stiletto.
I was asked to step up, and I did. When I got into the van, I was shaking and got very upset and was very frightened. And I saw an opportunity when the door opened again, and two larger-than-life drag queens got in. And I slipped out.
By now, an angry crowd was forming and the police were outnumbered. John O'Brien.
I was hanging out just a block away. I heard the sirens of police cars. My reaction was to run towards the bar because that's where the excitement was. That's what was happening. I was 20 years old and we're all together and the anger was towards them, the police. People started yelling at them and then people started tossing coins and stuff started coming flying from different directions at the police, and the police then went inside for shelter. And so this parking meter was partially out of the ground that apparently a car or a truck had hit, and I joined three other people. We lifted up the parking meter and we used it as a battering ram on the doors of the Stonewall because we wanted to get to the cops. I wanted to kill the cops. That's how I felt. And I can only imagine what they were thinking, peering out, looking outside at the people that they had been harassing and hurting for years that were now outside and they are hiding inside from us.
Some of the protesters also tried to set the stone wall on fire with lighter fuel, but the police managed to call for reinforcements and escape in time. Now, though, the crowd knew the streets were theirs. Danny Garvin also took part in the riot.
At one point, I ran up onto a building that a friend of mine lived in. I was able to look down at the whole crowd and look at the street, you know, and see the fires and everything. And the police had all lined up, trying to close off the street. And a bunch of queens would roll up their pants legs, their jeans, above their knees, and put their arms around each other and formed a chorus line and started doing a kick line.
Being taunted by can-canning drag queens was a new experience for the NYPD.
The police were absolutely shocked. Never before seen gay people in such resistance. And that's part of what gave the whole rebellion its flavor for the first night. We found our strength in ourselves and each other. And it went on for several nights, and the police got more and more vicious and violent with their nightsticks until they hurt so many people, and then the rain came down. And so between the weather conditions and the brutality of the cops, that's why it petered out after like 4 or 5 nights of that.
Accurate figures are hard to establish, but it's known that by the time the riots ended, the police had made at least 13 arrests, and one officer had been treated in hospital for a head wound. The events at Stonewall had a lasting impact on the gay rights movement. Before 1969, the main campaigning groups in the US were called Matachine Societies. Their activists preferred to avoid confrontation and ask instead for privacy. Stonewall inspired a new, much more militant movement.
We organized the Gay Liberation Front, and we were not asking for mercy. We were demanding our full rights. We insisted that people be open about being gay and not push just for privacy. We wanted full rights and we wanted liberation, and we rejected the society around us, and we thought it's outrageous. They're persecuting us because of who we love.
In June 1970, activists organized a march from Greenwich Village to Central Park to mark the first anniversary of the Stonewall riot. This was the start of the modern gay pride movement and its annual parades.
Yeah. Oh, what a power.
It wasn't a march to just protest. It was a march to celebrate who we are, to be proud and excited and happy to be gay. And, of course, the police refused to give us a permit, and we fought them, physically pushing them aside as we went up the street. We did not expect to get to Central Park. We made it to Central Park. We were very thrilled with ourselves and our numbers. People were smiling, no longer being fearful alone. And it showed that we could do more. Those parades continued, as you know, every year. And every year, more and more people come to march in their first open pride march in the light in public. It's very empowering for every one of us. It's still very emotional for me. We started a tradition of respect, of pride, of joy, of community.
The gay rights campaigner John O'Brien ending that edition of Witness History from me, Simon Watts. And you can watch a filmed version of that program on our website. Just search for BBC Witness History. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.